Joseph.
His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki, Namachari Srila Vidyasa Thakur Ki, Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Oh Premanandi, All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories to the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to the Prabhupada, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Preshaya Bhutale Shri Mati Dharmapad Swami Tina. Hare Krishna, devotees. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 20, verse 267. Oops. Verse 267. So we'll do word for word, let me find. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai
Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tatho jaya mudirayet shrinatam swakatha krishna punya shravana kirtana hirdyanta sohya bhadrani yuti suhisatam nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati uttama shloker bhaktir bhavati naishtiki
Hare Krishna. So Madhya 20, chapter 20, verse 267. So word for word we'll do first. Udit
Adhyavatara.
The original incarnation.
Purusha.
The Lord.
Parashya.
Of the Supreme.
Kalaha.
Time.
Swabhava.
Nature.
Sat Asat.
Cause and effect.
Manhaja.
As well as the mind.
Dravyam.
The five elements.
Vikaraha.
Transformation or the false ego.
Gunaha.
Modes of nature.
Indriyani.
Senses.
Virat,
the universal form.
Swarat,
complete independence.
Sthashnu,
immovable.
Charishnu,
movable.
Bhumnaha,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Adyovatara Purusha Parasya
Adyovatara Purusha Parasya
Adyovatara Purusha Parasya
Adyovatara Purusha Parasya
Kala Swabhava Sadasan Manascha Swabhava Sadasan Manascha
Kala
Swabhava Sadasan Manascha Dravyam Vikaro Guna Indriyani
Dravyam Vikaro Guna Indriyani
Viraswarastham Shucharishnu Bhumna
Virat
Swarat Sthan Shnu Charishnu Bhumna
Please chant.
Adhavatara
Translation and purport with Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation. Karnabhidhachai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, elements, material ego, modes of nature, senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Should we say it together? Can we repeat? You can say it together. Karnabhidhachai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, elements, material ego, modes of nature, senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42. For an explanation, refer to Adi Lila chapter 5, verse 83. And that's the purport. Usually for Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have got like 15, 20 verses. When I saw this, I was like, ah! But Srila Prabhupada has given us indicator of 2642 and 583 in Adi Lila. Actually, both of those verses are exactly the same because this is quoting from Bhagavatam, chapter 2, canto 2, chapter 6. And this verse is again quoted or was quoted previously by Krishnadas Kaviraj in chapter 5 of Adi Lila. So we are going to refer to the purport of 2642. So Prabhuji, can you put up that purport, 2642? Because this was when Lord Brahma was instructing Narada. Actually the last time, or maybe in November when I gave class, we were in this section of Purusha Sukta prayers. And so the context was that Narada is actually inquiring from his father, Brahmaji, that what is the source of your knowledge? And under whose protection are you standing? He's like, under whom are you working? So he had all these questions. Of course, we know that Narada Muni is a totally self-realized personality, but he's asking for our benefit. So he's asking Brahmaji, what's your real position? Do you alone create all these entities with material elements by your own energy, or there's somebody else who you are assisting? So he's asking those questions, and so Brahmaji answers him in great detail in that chapter and the following chapter. So the Purushottama prayers are coming from that question, those questions of Narada Muni. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, it's a long purport, so I'm going to read it. That the material creation is not permanent has been discussed many times herein before. The material creation is but a temporary exhibition of the material energy of the Almighty God. This material manifestation is necessary to give a chance to the conditioned souls who are unwilling to associate with the Lord in the relationship of loving transcendental service. So we've been given a chance. We would wonder why all these incarnations are happening, right? So Krishna is so kind, giving us a chance. Again and again he comes in different forms, giving us a chance so that we can go back to him. Such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence, because at heart they are not willing to serve. Instead, they want to enjoy themselves as imitation gods. The living entities are constitutionally eternal servitors of the Lord, but some of them, because of misusing their independence, do not wish to serve. Therefore, they are allowed to enjoy the material nature, which is called Maya or illusion. It's called illusion because the living beings under the clutches of Maya are not factually enjoyers, although they think that they are being illusioned by Maya. Such illusion living entities are given a chance at intervals to rectify their perverted mentality of becoming false masters of the material nature, and they are imparted lessons from the Vedas about their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Veda isya sarve aham eva vedya. So, I really like this part. I have highlighted it in yellow. So the temporary creation of the material manifestation is an exhibition of the material energy of the Lord, and to manage the whole show, the Supreme Lord incarnates himself as the Karnavashai Vishnu, just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily. So really like the way Srila Prabhupada says, to manage the whole show, Krishna says, okay, I'll incarnate as Karnavashai Vishnu, who we also know as Karnodakshai Vishnu or Mahavishnu. So the Karnodakshai Vishnu causes the manifestation of material creation by looking over his material energy, sa ekshata. It's described as a glance, right? He just glances over. In the first volume of this book, which is the first canto, we have already discussed to some extent the explanation of the verse Jagrahe Paurusham Rupam. The duration of the illusory play of material creation is called a kalpa. And we have already discussed the creations taking place in kalpa after kalpa. By his incarnation and the activities of his potencies, the complete ingredients of creation, namely time, space, cause, result, mind, the gross and subtle elements, and their interactional modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, and then the senses and their reservoir source, the gigantic universal form, as the second incarnation, Karnodakshai Vishnu. So we have Karnodakshai Vishnu, and then from him, he expands himself as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And then all living beings, both moving and not moving and standing, which come out of the second incarnation, all became manifested. Ultimately, all these creative elements and the creation itself are but manifestations of the Supreme Lord's potencies. Nothing is independent of the control of the Supreme Being. This first incarnation in the material creation called Karna Arnavashai Vishnu is the plenary part of the original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, described in the Brahma Samhita 548 as follows. You can say it together if you like. Yashya Kaniva Tikalam Atavalam Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanatha Vishnurmahan Sahiyasya Kala Vishesho Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. All the innumerable universes are maintained only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu or Karana Arnavashai Vishnu, who is only a plenary part of Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. So this is just to give us an idea that this is just, he inhales and exhales, and with this, each of his exhalation, so many universes are created from each of those pores of his body. So many universes are created. So this is just a plenary portion of Krishna. And so we can imagine the, like, you know, what, how much Virat or big Krishna is, that he can expand like this. So going back to this chapter, actually, so this is actually, the chapter is entitled Instruction to Sanatana Goswami by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we know, Sanatana Goswami has escaped from his captors, from the Nawab's prison house, and he gets to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he meets him, and the whole description about him having his blanket, which is very opulent because his brother-in-law gave it to him, all that has happened. And when he appears before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying in verse 102, so we are on 267, and in 102 he says, Ke Ami, the very famous verse, Ke Ami, Kene Amaya Jarita Patraya Iha Nahi Jani Ke Mane Hita Haya. Who am I? So I remember, you know, recently we were at a book table in Lake City, and I remember asking one of the persons who stopped by at our booth, I said, so have you thought about who are you and what's the goal of your life? He's like, because he was talking a lot before that, and I brought this question. He's like, oh, good question, I didn't think about it. So we are going through this life without even like pausing to have these questions. And once somebody shows them these, like at least guides us toward a question like this, like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. Who am I? Why am I doing this? And actually I was listening to a class recently in which, I'm not sure whose class it was, they said that, you know, so getting up in the morning, waking up early in the morning, getting ready, taking 1 hour or 2 hour train ride, because I think it was in Mumbai, taking a train ride to work, and then working 7, 8, 10 hours, and then coming back, and then eating a little something, and then you'll be having a little bit of recreation, and then going to sleep, and starting all over again. So is that who I am? So who am I? I'm an engineer, software engineer, I'm helping so many people, but who am I? So yeah, and then Sanatana Goswami is saying, why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts giving him instructions, and one of the verses which I'm stopping on is that 119, in which Mahaprabhu says, when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, he is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called Viprayayo Smritihi, that we think we are Krishna's competitor. And actually, you know, we might say, on a gross level, we might not think we are competing with Krishna. But on a subtle level, if you realize how we are always thinking, how I can get better, how I can do better, how I can... It's a very subtle nuance. Even though we know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but my desire to control is so much there. Like, again, giving my example from our book distribution table, we had a 2-day event. So the first day we set up and we did everything, then we left. Second day somebody else came for me and they set up the table, and I came like around noon, and I'm like, oh, things should be this way. So I moved everything around, and I mean, things were, because the first two devotees came, they had to do a lot of work, they were kind of setting up. But I came a couple hours later and I was kind of setting everything to what I had planned as arranged the day before. And I was just laughing and telling that Mataji that, I'm sorry, I'm feeling like such a controller, trying to control everything here. She said, no, I'm like that too. But we have this subtle desire to be the controllers. Huh? We are controlling, if we can control our children, we are controlling people around us, our students, which I'm trying to control when I'm at school. So we are trying to control, we are little controllers. And as long as our mood is that we are serving Krishna, we want to serve Krishna, and it is not inimical to the jivas around us. Actually, somebody reminded me recently that one of the offenses is that when you see a devotee, you don't get happy. That's actually an offense, not to feel happy and be very, very pleased that you're seeing a devotee, because they're so rare, so very rare. And when we see a devotee and we think, they owe us this much money, or, you know, they didn't offer their obeisances properly, or... So that is actually, even in our minds, that's an offense. So we have to be so careful. We have to be not try to... Because Krishna is so happy. Krishna says, even if one gives an obeisances once to him, he's so happy that somebody has said his name and offered obeisances to him. So we don't want to become Vipraya Smriti, Krishna's competitor. To nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a spiritual master, worshipful deity, and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. And therefore, further on, Krishna's service and love of Krishna are the three... Oh, Krishna, Krishna's service and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life. And only by devotional activity can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord, which is perfect in all respects. Although his form is one, he can expand his form into unlimited numbers by his supreme will, which is what we are seeing in this verse today. So I was listening to Radhana Swami's class on the same verse given way back in 1996, but by mercy of ISKCON Desire Tree, those classes are available, so I heard it. So Radhana Swami is saying, he says, so why did the Lord incarnate? He says, to give a chance to us, the Samuhita Jivas, to, you know, go back to him. So some of us, we have been practicing Krishna consciousness for 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 years, right? 5 years, maybe a month. 30 years, Hare Krishna. And so we will say, you know, but Maya is always trying to test us. If we look every time, every moment, Maya is trying to test us, saying, give me one moment, just give me one moment. And what Maharaj was saying was that one moment of our time we give and we think, well, that was not bad. So the next time we might give her 2 moments of our time. And that's how she comes in like a pin and goes out like a plow. And before we know it, we don't have time to chant our japa, we don't have any energy, we don't have any energy to do any seva, because maybe our time is being used by Maya. And we don't even realize it. And it's like a very, very subtle thing, or it might be more gross things, but we do not want to give Maya any time. That's how at least we have to decide. We don't want to give Maya any time. And of course, she will find ways to get in. But there is one saying which Maharaj stated from Vishnu Puran, the greatest tragedy in all creation is to waste a moment in forgetfulness of Lord Hari. So you are saying, be very careful, take Krishna consciousness very seriously. And the Lord is personally incarnating to give this message. And in these various Purusha avatars, the Leela avatars, and all of this is meant to facilitate the revival of our Krishna consciousness. He is sending his representatives, he sent Srila Prabhupada to us, our guru, our spiritual masters, and reminding us what the goal of our life is. And Srila Prabhupada, by his immense forethought and vision, far out vision, that he translated the entire Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charita, almost the entire Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and wrote so many books and gave us the opportunity to share it with others. And I've mentioned this before, that only when we give Krishna, we get Krishna. So we want to give Krishna. Jare dekhe tare kahe Krishna upadesh. Whoever we meet, wherever we go, we give Krishna upadesh. And we tell them just about Krishna. and remind them what the goal of their life is. They might not even want to hear it, but once they give you a little bit of attention, they give a little attention, they will understand, yes, that's the goal of my life. So, because Krishna is always, even though we might feel that we might not be able to, you know, what if they think of us poorly, what if they think of us negatively. Actually, I want to just say, I'm not named, this Mataji who is sitting here. She was, when we distribute books, she's like so bold. She just goes all out and just starts talking. Everybody, nobody goes by our booth without her giving them, showing them Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, telling them about Krishna. And we can tell that she feels so protected. Because Krishna says, Parataranaya Sadhunam, I am protecting the devotees. And it's such an inspiration to me to have that mood of seeing everybody as very, very fit recipients of Krishna, of Krishna's mercy. And which reminds me, another thing which Radhana Swami was saying in his class was that it was the day he gave the class was actually 25th of December, so Christmas, and he was giving a lot of examples from Jesus's teachings. And I thought I will share this with you, that the story of the eye of the needle. Right, that what he says was, it's easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle than someone who's proud of their opulence to enter the kingdom of God. So, because in those days, you know, they had more camels, not many cattle in the middle of the desert there. And so, you know, we've got so much. We think we are very opulent. You know, we've got wealth, we have education, we have a high birth. So eye of the needle was that there's actually, or there used to be, an actual gate in Jerusalem, which was named Eye of the Needle. Yeah. So when camels used to come, because that was the only way of transportation, they would come with all their loads, and they would be at the gate. But they had to be unloaded, everything had to be taken off, and then the camel has to like literally crawl through the space to get into Jerusalem. So that, you know, Maharaj was drawing the analogy like our baggage. We have so much baggage. We have to get rid of our baggage, the birth, the wealth, the education, etc., to get to that point that we can accept and we can enter, be fit recipients of Krishna's mercy and enter the kingdom, enter Golok Vrindavan, ultimately, of course, and to get his mercy. And we know from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Sri Rangam, South India, he goes there, there's so many learned scholars there, and he is gravitating towards this very simple Brahmana who's sitting there with the Bhagavad Gita in his hand and he's crying. And Mahaprabhu actually asks him, what's going on? And he says, my spiritual master told me to read the Bhagavad Gita. And he is holding the Bhagavad Gita upside down, but tears are pouring from his eyes. And Mahaprabhu gave him so much mercy because of his humility. He says, I'm illiterate. So he's not even reading it. He's just saying, how lovely that Lord is, that who so magnanimous that he's actually willing to become a very menial servant of his devotee. Because, you know, becoming a chariot driver, which is like your chauffeur, you know, being a chauffeur. In fact, in India, I know that sometimes my nephew is driving the car and if his mother sits in the back, he's like, you think I'm your chauffeur? It looks so bad that you're sitting in the back. You have to sit in the front. So yeah, because being somebody's driver is considered very menial servant. So Mahaprabhu was so attracted. He gave him so much mercy. So yeah, so we have to become that, we have to make ourselves fit recipients for the Lord's mercy. And I'm going to just go through the philosophy a little bit from this verse about the expansions, the Purushavatars. So since this verse is also quoted in Adi Leela, chapter 5, verse 83, that chapter is actually entitled The Glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. And I will read some parts of that chapter 583. Where is it? Oh, chapter 5. Um, the personality of Godhead. So there is Krishna Lok, where below Krishna Lok is a spiritual sky. Below Krishna Lok are the Vaikuntha planets, and on each Vaikuntha planet there is a 400 Narayan. So the ways Krishna and Balaram are actually not identical, as we know. The only difference is in their color. So Krishna is color of monsoon cloud and Balaram is the color of spring cloud. And first expansion is Balaram, from him comes Sankarshan, and then is the 400 Narayan, and then expansion into Mahasankarshan. And that Mahasankarshan then expands into Mahavishnu or Karana Udakshai Vishnu. So I can just want to break up this word. Karana means Karan, like Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause. And Udaka is water, and Shai means sleep. So one who is sleeping on the, or who is resting on the causal ocean. And Vishnu is actually, the meaning of the word Vishnu is one who creates and also enters his creation. You know, like so many of these software engineers and computer programmers making all the computer program, but they're not entering into that computer program. But Vishnu is so amazing that he creates it and then he enters it. And then, as we heard before, inhalation and exhalation of the Mahavishnu from every pore manifests the universe and then expands into Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And from that Garbhodak Vishnu, as we know from Brahma Samhita, that the lotus comes out, and that's where Brahma appears from there. And Brahma is actually doing the secondary creation. The primary creation is by Krishna, and secondary creation is by Lord Brahma, who creates the, you know, the 14 planetary systems, the upper seven and the lower seven. So now these have to be maintained. All of these planets have to be maintained. So that's when he expands into Kshirodakshai Vishnu. And Kshirodakshai Vishnu is in each and every one of our hearts. He's the Paramatma in our heart. So, and what does Krishna say? He says, Sarvasya Chaham Hidi Sanavishto. Krishna enters the heart of every living entity. And also, he enters into every atom. Every atom of the universe, Krishna enters. That's another Brahma Samhita verse, verse 35. Andarashtam Parmanu Chayantarasthan. So he's entering into every atom, and that's how he maintains this creation. A very important thing we have to remember, that Krishna, that Vishnu or Krishna never touches the material energy. So there's a description, I think, in this in the series of verses, that there is the ocean, the causal ocean is there, and on the other side is, there's a Brahman effulgence, and the material energy is on the other side of the Brahman effulgence. So he never, the spiritual energy or Lord Vishnu never touches that material energy. And material element, also the earth, water, fire, air and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. The water of the Karana ocean, which is the original cause, is therefore spiritual. And he, the cause of the universes, cast his glance over Maya. Maya Shakti resides outside the Karana ocean. Maya cannot touch its water. And the Maya aspect of material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation. Just as the original cause of an earthen pot is the potter, so the creator of the material world is the first Purusha incarnation, which is Karanodakshai Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the creator and Maya only helps him as an instrument, just like the potter's wheel and other instruments, which are the instrumental causes of a pot. And so this Mahavishnu casts his glance at Maya from a distance, and thus he impregnates her with the seed of life in the form of the living entities. And then we talked about the inhalation or the exhalation. Universes are manifested with each of his outward breath, and they stay only till he inhales. When he inhales, all the universes just enter his body again. And so the Brahma Samhita verse is that the Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. And then Brahmaji says in this next verse, which is a quote from when Brahma had stolen all the cowherd boys. So this is a quote here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, "Where am I, a small creature of seven spans, the measure of my own hand? I am enclosed in the universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water and earth. And what is your glory?" He's talking to Krishna. "Unlimited universes passes through the pore of your body, just like particles of dust passing through the opening of a window. So I say that this Kala is Mahavishnu. He is the Mahapurusha who is the source of all other Purushas and who is all pervading." So that's why they are called the Purusha Avatars. The Purusha Avatars they are called. And what else did I wanted to read? One more thing. So the Mahapurusha appears for the purpose of creation, maintenance and annihilation and is called an incarnation. The Mahapurusha is identical with the personality of Godhead. He is the original incarnation, the seed of all others and the shelter of everything. Jai Shri Radhe Krishna Balaram. Okay, I think I will end there and I'll read the verse again. And if you have any questions or comments, corrections, I really appreciate it. Karnadashai Vishnu, Mahavishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, the mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord. Garbhodakshai Vishnu and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji. O Mother Madhumati.
Thank you, Shivan Bhavan, for a nice class. My question is that you're mentioning that Vishnu never touches the material energy. What do we understand from, you also mentioned that Vishnu enters into each atom. So it seems like as if he's touching the material energy by entering into each atom.
Mahavishnu, you're talking about Mahavishnu, he never touches because he is, by his glance he creates. So, of course, this quote was about Mahavishnu, who is the Karnodakshai Vishnu. But of course, even when Vishnu enters into our heart, he is... Now, this is a tricky question, but I'll try to answer it, and if somebody else can answer, that he's never affected by it. He's never affected by it. Like, you know, like Lord Shiva is described as, he has got 75% of Lord Krishna's opulences. So he actually touches the material energy, whereas Vishnu Murtis are never touching. So like, you know, Lord Chaitanya actually comes here, he comes to this, he came to Bengal like 500 years ago. So will we say that Lord Chaitanya was touching the material energy? No, because he's Sarva Karana Karanam and he's supreme pure, so he will never be affected by the material energy. So that's the way I would answer. Prabhuji, what were you going to say?
You said it.
Okay.
Essentially, all matter comes from, essentially all matter and everything else emanates from Vishnu, but he's not affected.
He's not affected by it, thank you. I think it was off. Thank you. Prabhuji, what's your name?
Gandharva Deva.
Gandharva Deva, Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu. Prabhuji, over there. Actually, Prabhuji, can I just say on that point? Because like Prabhupada also says in the purport Just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily, or Prabhupada has also said that, you reminded me of this, Prabhupada said that the governor will go to the prison house, and it doesn't mean he becomes a prisoner. He is a governor and he is just there to do an inspection or whatever he's doing, but he's not a prisoner. So we cannot, the prisoners might start thinking, oh, okay, he's just like us, you know, he's here. So yes, thank you, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the first quadruple in Dwarka, and then from that Shankarshan, Vasudev Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Munita.
Mm-hmm.
Then from that Shankarshan comes the unlimited Narayan.
Narayan, yes.
Unlimited Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
So is there like from that Narayan comes the second quadruple expansion? Like again, Vasudev Shankarshan, which is Mula Shankarshan.
Mahasankarshan, also yes. Called Mahasankarshan.
From that Shankarshan comes the Karmadaksha Vishnu. So my question to you is that Karmadaksha Vishnu also like unlimited Vaikuntha? Or is only one? I mean, we know that from that Mahasankarshan comes the Purusha Avatars.
Mm-hmm.
So that those Purusha Avatars, we know that Varudaksha Vishnu is unlimited number, an unlimited universe. And then we know that if every atom cell is
since there are so many Narayan Murtis, I would say there would be unlimited too. Because from Narayan, there are many Narayan and different, there's so many Vaikuntha planets on which they are existing. So from that Narayan, Mahasankarshan, the quadruple expansions are happening. So I would say that yes, that there would be Karunadakshaya Vishnu. So for our, you can say for our universe, where our, from like, you know, we have Shirodakshaya Vishnu in our heart, and the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is in that causal ocean which is for our universe, and our Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is coming from that Karunadakshaya Vishnu, who is for our part of the world, right? For our part of the universe. But yes, so there will be so many. I would say, yes, there are so many. And our professor will say something. Stithiti Muni Prabhu.
I have few other questions.
Yes.
There's no limit,
yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes.
So you're saying that Karmadaksha Vishnu is also unlimited?
That's my understanding, Prabhuji. Well, the explanation is that the inhalation and exhalation of Mahavishnu or Karunadakshaya Vishnu, that's where everybody enters back into the Mahavishnu. And that is my understanding. And I'm not a scholar, so please don't quote me on that. Hare Krishna. But that's my understanding, that the pores, all the universes are created from his pores. So then when he inhales, they all go back into his body as well.
So
yes.
Which means that, I want to clear that point here, which means that when there is a partial inhalation, partial annihilation, then we enter into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But when there is a complete annihilation, that the jivas who are not a so-called liberation, or you are not going to the Lord's planet, we will go back to Mahavishnu. That's what
you said. It. This has always been a very, very out there thing for me, but when I studied it and heard some classes, so I'm able to express myself a little bit. So please be merciful to me, Prabhuji. I am just now very, very, like, being a little bit clarity is coming slowly.
I don't mind stepping my foot in it.
Prabhuji?
I don't mind stepping my foot in it.
Please.
But on the first thing, though, is what's that? What's the quote we were talking about prior? Touch, Vishnu, touch. What was that? What was the quote? What's the
Vishnu doesn't touch.
What? It was from the books. Isn't there a statement, something about Vishnu not being touched by the material energy we were talking about?
Right.
Is that in the books?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, how do they write it there?
Vishnu never touches the material energy.
I was just wondering, you know, if it's easy.
Well, that's from chapter 5.
Well, I mean, you know, Prabhupada expressed a certain way, or at least his editors did.
Yes.
Do you have it? You don't have it?
I'm not sure which one.
Okay, don't worry about it. No. But one thing that I think everybody else already said it, more or less, but like to be touched by something means to be affected by it. Oh, that movie touched me, or this person, my relationship just touches my heart. So, you know, it's not necessarily physically touching it, you know, it's like being, in that context, to say to be touched by something means to be affected by it. But I think everybody else kind of hit that too.
Oh, so this is the first Purusha, which is Karunadasha Vishnu, casts his glance at Maya from a distance, and thus he impregnates her with the seed of life in the form of living entities. That's what it says about from a distance.
Yeah.
And then answering what query you had in this, this is a direct quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, directly from Krishnadas Kaviraj. The Purusha, when the Purusha exhales, the universes are manifested with his each outward breath. Thereafter, when he inhales, all the universes again enter his body. So it's the Purusha which they are referring to as the first Purusha, which is the Karunadaksha Vishnu. Yes.
Oh, what about my question though?
And your question about touching?
We didn't find the touch thing. But touch could mean being affected by it. But I didn't catch the whole question here. Is some about going back to Godhead or something?
Oh no, what he was saying about when there's a partial dissolution and a complete dissolution.
Oh.
So when there's a partial dissolution, do we go back into Garbhodakshai?
Oh.
But when there's complete dissolution, we go back to Karunodakshai Vishnu?
Don't worry about it. Krishna will take care of you.
Yeah, so I'm Hare Krishna. This Prabhuji has to say something.
The point is self-preservational service. Everything else is celibate.
I'm sorry?
The point is self-preservational service. Everything else is salad dressing.
Salad dressing. Selfless devotional service, that's the main point, and everything else is salad dressing. Hare Krishna. Yeah. And you know, there are all these things, all these very, very esoteric, philosophical, of all the Purushas and how the jivas are created and they are maintained and they are annihilated. It's all there, yes. So we can be a simple devotee saying, I'll chant Hare Krishna, I'll be happy, I'll serve Krishna and go back to God by His mercy. So that has been my philosophy for the last, whatever, 35 years. And by the mercy of the devotees here, Mother Shri Gaurangi, who is kind of encouraging me to give class, so I kind of read some more and get a little bit more philosophically educated. So I'm very thankful for you all devotees for making me kind of stretch my very, very stubborn particles here of my brain, and that I can stretch and I can actually get some mercy. Thank you very much.
One
more question here from Mother Gaura Bhakti. Hare Krishna. Right. Yes. Oh, but the thing is that there could be what the point he brought up was, but there would be, there are many, many Narayan Murtis, like 400 Narayan. There's not only one Narayan.
It shows in that spiritual world picture there's unlimited Narayan.
Vaikuntha planets. All right, this is another statement.
I was just looking at the big poster.
Right. Okay. So, to be determined. Hare Krishna. Jai. All glories to Prabhupada. Granthara Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.